I have entitled this segment, The Word is the Way to Life. Because the Word, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh. And He walked among us, experiencing everything that we experience. That's what makes Him the perfect Savior, the perfect intercessor. God Himself in the flesh, teaching us about life. Well, there was another interesting guy by the name of Solomon who was experiencing life and thinking about things and talking about things. And he was experiencing all the things like we experience. And he was frustrated with some of the things, to say the least. So I want to pick up our study on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. Its subtitle is, A Time for Everything. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to rebuild. A time to cry, and a time to laugh. A time to grieve, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to turn away. A time to search, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be quiet, and a time to speak up. A time to love, and a time to hate. And a time for war, and a time for peace. Well, may God add His blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, you've probably heard me mention before, as we do memorial services or death, burial, and resurrection service in our tradition, that's what we call them. We don't call them funerals, because funeral denotes a time of finality. And those of us who have received Christ in our life know that when we pass from this life, we go on to eternal life. But Ecclesiastes was sharing something with us about a time to move on. And we all have grief when we lose a loved one. But then there is a time to move on, because we must bring closure to our time of mourning, and so that we can participate again in God's plan for our life. There will be a time to come when you'll be ready, if you experience a loss of a loved one, and maybe you're already there, a time to move on, the time of growing. And we are helped then in this grieving process as we have the proper perspective, because we have the assurance of eternity with our brothers and our sisters and aunts and uncles and mom and dad. So the grief is healed by hope. Hope that we'll all be together again sometime. Amen. Well, shortly after taking some school exams, one of my nieces held a book burning party. Did you ever do that? With her friends, at which they made a bonfire of their revision notes, which one hopes that they had found some useful information when they were preparing for tests or exams. And as today's passage that I read reminds us, there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. I'm in the process of thinking about burning a lot of stuff that I don't think I need anymore. All my school papers and stuff, and I don't know why I'm saving them, but there's a time to throw away. So the scripture states that everything has its time and season, and develops the point that set out 14 pairs of activities. Very similar to what Solomon did in Proverbs, if you read it. And some of these pairs contrast the positive with the negative. Be born and die, weep and laugh. Well, in many cases, this activity seems to contradict each other. Killing and healing, tearing down, building up. Well, what does old Solomon want us to know or teach us about these different activities against each other in this way? My humble opinion, I think he's suggesting that we must know the right time for each activity And if you hope to succeed, because most activities are not appropriate all the time, perhaps he had a point, is that there is something contradictory about human activities. One person does, another person undoes, canceling out the effect. And perhaps this is just another way of suggesting the futility that he talked about human activity. And he makes the point that he returns to often in the verses that we'll read about next week in verse 9. But maybe the teacher means to imply that human affairs are often a matter of a two-step process. One step back, one step forward. But could we actually look at this text of Scripture and take it as a statement of God's providential ordering of the world? He made everything. And see how well everything fits together. I think all activities, even the most seemingly contradictory activities that we have to go through in our life, there's a place in God's dealing with us and His creation that I think, too, it's an idea that the teacher will soon express through a qualified form. That's why I like the book of Ecclesiastes. You'll find it fascinating, and you can think about in your own life as you've experienced some of these things that he was talking about. So if you look at it all by itself, it can be interpreted as a number of different ways, and that's true. And it forces us again to question, why do we do the things that we do as humans? More particularly, it should worry us that often we do things that seem that somebody else is either going to undo as already done. In some of the other scriptures that we read earlier, we can sometimes get a glimpse of a larger divine purpose taking shape in the midst of the vast array of seemingly conflicting human activities. Amen? Well, I love Ecclesiastes, and because it's like looking in a mirror, I think. And we had a good teacher in old Solomon. So I want to think about some things. Think of some occasions in your life where you did something that undid or contradicting something that you had done earlier. You ever do that? Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I need to undo that. Well, looking back on these activities, we find them sometimes merely contradictory. Or do they really make sense as a large part of what we're doing in our life? I think there's some good reasons for undoing or setting aside another person's or another group of work that we get involved in. And then I think that we have some bad reasons too. And what can we learn from Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes about life and about life in general? Well, I hope and pray that you're getting something out of this little study of the Word is the Way to Life through the book of Ecclesiastes. And next week we'll pick it up in verses 9 through 15. But we also have a lot of folks in our church that are in need and a touch of prayer. And we know that prayer is an important part of our time together on this world. And so we need to lift up one another. I call it a prayer of intercession. And without mentioning a lot of names, because we do, you can look at some of the names on the website. Just click on the slides under Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers, and you'll see the folks there. Linda Sassine has need of a special touch. Her brother is dealing with some medical issues. Travis, he's traveling down to Miami to support the Seminoles. I think that is a really good thing. So we need to keep Travis and his son Brandon in prayer as they travel to and from. And I appreciate him supporting the Seminoles. They need all our support. And then there's a lot of people, and as you heard me say before, you don't need an 800 number or a preacher or anybody to talk to God to lift up your prayer requests or your praises or your joys. Because it's just like talking to me or talking to somebody else. When you have that personal relationship with God through Christ, you just sit down and talk to Him. And then the disciples, they understood that, wow, this is a good thing to do. And they said, Lord, can we learn to sit down and talk to the Father? He said, sure. Let me give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we close this segment with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.